Hey everybody, James here, and what follows is the rest of our interview with Lou Montgomery. Lou was a fantastic guest and had a lot of great insights about Iowa football and a lot of memories from his time as a player, but we just didn't have time to fit it all into the normal podcast episode. So with that, sit back and enjoy the rest of our interview with Lou Montgomery.
Was it Bill Snyder calling plays? Matt Rogers, you know, the 19 step drop back, but you know, you guys were putting up crazy points and crazy yards. I mean, you guys blew the Big Ten wide open. What's it like kind of watching the 2017 version where there are clearly like Noah Fant, Wadley, there are guys who have the talent, but they just kind of can't get out of their way because I think it's a new system or whatever. What's that like for you kind of watching on the sidelines or on TV?
It's a little hard to watch because I know this team has talent. I mean, they've proven it. I mean, they play tough against Penn State. They play tough against, obviously, against Ohio State. So it's not that this team is lacking talent. What I get the sense is, and this is just my opinion, is that I don't know if these guys understand I don't know if they understand the history. They don't understand, you know, what it's like to put that helmet on and to have that Tiger Hawk and what that truly represents. And I think that's the difference maker in sense of teams of the past that have been successful is that, you know, we understood we were nowhere near the top of the barrel in terms of talent wise. You guys remember, man, we had that grass field that had, I mean, it was like 18 inches long. We had those big old heavy pony tennis shoes, you know.
those shoulder pads.
The shoulder pads, man, the big old clunky. And now I look at the facilities, the types of things that these players have nowadays is so much, and it's almost as it's an entitlement versus earning your Tiger Hawk, you know, and understanding what it means to win. When you come into Kinnick Stadium, you truly are entering the swarm, you know, just like a hornet's nest or a bee's nest. You know, if you stick your hand in there, you're going to get stung. And that was the kind of mentality that we played with, the kind of passion that we played with. And that was on offense and defense. I mean, we had guys high-fiving each other and jumping around. And I mean, it was just that camaraderie that we had. And to watch the teams now where the guys will make a big play and, you know, see guys just kind of jog off the field and there's a lack of emotion, it tells me that, you know, they don't understand that they're playing for more than just themselves. They're playing for guys like me who came along. I remember that when I played, man, I remember guys like Ronnie Harmon and Norm Granger and Owen Gill and those guys who kind of paved the way in years before me. And I said, man, I want to represent the running backs. I got to keep this tradition going. So I got to make this block, the spring Nick Bell, or, you know, Mike Saunders, who in my opinion was one of the best running backs to come out of there, probably underrated running back. Mike Saunders, man, we would be in the huddle. We played Purdue, at Purdue, and this is a true story. We were in the huddle, and I think Purdue was beating us at the beginning of the game. And Mike comes in, they kick the ball off to us, and Mike and I are in the huddle. And Mike was like, hey, you want to put a little wager that I can take this thing 70, 80 yards? I was
like, stop. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. I bet you $5. And if you replay that game on YouTube, Mike Saunders, he said, just give me a block. Just give me one block. And Mike took off for like 70, 80 yards. And he gets in the end zone. He's like, where's my money? I was like, Mike, man. I was like, all right. Let's go
that's
double.
That's awesome.
Now.
Lou, I think I actually put that video up on YouTube. I know the game you're talking about. Love it.
Yeah.
Well, and he had the big game winner.
That was
He had that big game winner in Madison too, didn't he? Against that was his home state, if I remember that. And some jerky Badger fan broke the side mirror of my Ford Escort after that game, but it was totally worth it.
Yeah, but that game at Madison, Mike was injured, and I actually started at tailback. They told me on Wednesday that Mike wouldn't be starting because I think he was injured. Marvin Lampkin was injured, and they said, "Lou, you got to play tailback." So I actually started that game at tailback, not knowing the tailback plays wholeheartedly. And so I go pretty much the whole game playing tailback. And then I think it came down to the wire, like we had like a minute left. And coach puts Mike in the game. I said, because we went into a 2-minute offense at the end, and we actually ended up beating him. And Mike scored the winning touchdown. So everybody's like, high-fiving Mike and carrying Mike off the field. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going to carry this team the whole game. This is crazy, man. What about me? I'm standing there like, are you guys serious? Mike comes in for like four, five, six plays and a 2-minute offense, wins the freaking football game, and everybody's high-fiving Mike. And I'm like, man, I'm going back to fullback, man.
That's the life of a fullback, though, right, Lou? I mean, that's kind of the way it goes.
It is. It is totally the life of the fullback, man. You get no love. And I told Mike, I said, Mike, when you get press conference, man, just say, I want to give a little bit of credit to Lou for a job. Nothing. I did this. I was like, dude, what about me? give your boy some love, man.
Oh, man. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Hey, Lou, has anybody ever approached you about being an honorary captain, coming back and addressing the team? Or?
Yeah, I served as the honorary captain when they played Arkansas State.
Okay.
A few years ago. I think that was 2009 or something like that.
Yeah.
I was the honorary captain back then, but, you know, Who remembers Arkansas State? I mean, I would have loved to have been like Michigan, Ohio State.
Yeah, we need to get you in for a big game, man. You can give them the speech, man, about not being complacent and fighting for the Tiger Hawk, man. You and Mike Daniels.
Man. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. But I don't know if they do it. I don't know if you have two turns at it or not. I don't know. But yeah, I did it in 2000. I don't know whatever year that was with the Arkansas State game.
Yeah, 2009. Okay.
So.
Hey, and they almost went undefeated that year, so you must have done something right.
I think that was Claiborne was on that team, and they had a couple of studs on that team, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody on that defense got a paycheck in the NFL, because that's what I remember about that team. So.
Yeah, they were tough. Yeah.
I mean, Mike Saunders' story was great. I would love to have that out there.
Man, the thing about it too is that I ran down and I congratulated him in the end zone, and he says, "Hey, you know, when am I get paid, man?" I said, "Okay, wait a minute, double or nothing." And he came back and did it again. At this point, I'm a Mike Saunders fan.
You know? There you go.
I think he had like two. I think he had two long runs in that game, but again. Mike was one of those guys, and I love Mike to death. He would always say, "Man, Sweet Lou, thanks, Sweet Lou." You know, a lot of the interviews, you'll see him on the sideline. You know, he always gave me credit for opening some holes for him, and what a talent. You know, he's a great guy. Same way with Nick Bell. You know, Nick was a great dude as well. Tony Stewart, you know, those guys. So I was very fortunate to be in the backfield with, you know, there was no ownership or no, I can't really find the right word. We just all messed
up. No prima donnas, right?
Right, right. We all, I mean, I played full. Me and Paul Kujawa came in and out. I used to love it. What I probably enjoyed the most, and this is the best, is that I used to love having Mike, Tony, and Nick run the ball all the way down the field. All right. We get inside the red zone. Coach Fry calls the fullback in, fullback play. So I get all the touchdowns. That's how I said 17 touchdowns. I had 17 touchdowns because they did all the work. I just got all the glory because I got to score the touchdown. So that was the greatest thing ever, because I'd always see that. Then that was really all I had to hang my hat on. It's like, hey, thanks, guys, for doing all the work all the way down the field. But really, people only remember who scored the touchdown. And, oh, yeah, by the way, that was me, you know. So so anytime we got down by the end zone, Coach Fry would always dial up the fullback play, kind of a cross, what we call the cross buck play, or just a straight dive play where we brought in three running backs. Paul would lead through the hole, and Matt would hand it off to me, and I'd get the touchdown. So that sometimes would make Mike and the other running backs a little angry. But I was like, hey, you guys get all the glory. You know what, you know? And then they started giving me – here's another funny story, too. You know, Nick Bell, I played fullback about 215 pounds.
Wow.
215, 220, okay? So – that was, and that was very, very light in the
big Yeah, that's pretty light.
Okay. So, all year long, you got to imagine this. I'm 215. I got a 255-pound tailback.
Right.
Behind me, okay? And at the beginning of the season, you know, Nick and I, this was the first year that Nick and I had an opportunity to play together. The first couple games, you know, I got a 245-pound linebacker that I got to block, and I got a 255-pound train behind me. And I kept getting smashed in the hole, pancaked, because Nick kept running up my back. So I would come to the huddle, and I'm like, Nick, man, you got to back up, okay? I don't come in your job trying to tell you how to do your job. Let me do my job so that you can do your job. So you need to slow down and let me do my job so you can do your job. And he was like, oh. So he kept running up I kept getting smashed in the hole. And the coaches were pissed off. And like, come on, Montgomery, you got to make that block. Come on. I'm like, but Coach, Nick, I'm getting. So a couple times I let the linebacker slip through. You know, I did one of those. Oh my gosh, I slipped and fell. And from the rest of the season on, Nick would be in the huddle. You're like, Lou, am I back far enough? Am I back far enough? And we're like literally in the Rose Bowl practically. And he's like, am I back far enough, Lou? I was like, yeah, Nick, it's over. I got you. You perfect. Right. Stay right where you at, man. You
don't now answer this question that's been bugging me for 25 years. I swear to God, Nick sometimes purposely looked for safeties that he could truck. Like, I don't think he tried sometimes to run around guys. I think he aimed for them.
Yeah, the thing that you're taught as a running back, at least what I was taught as a running back, was that, you know, it's not always about running away from people. Sometimes you got to mark your territory. So if you have an opportunity to nail a defensive back, that's going to make him think twice the next time he comes up and tries to tackle you. And that's when you run around it. So if you nail that defensive back a couple times, he's going to come up and he's going to be a little bit hesitant because he's like, I remember the last time I tried that and I got trucked over. Nick, and then that's when you turn on the speed. Nick ran a 4.3 40. I mean, so you got 255 pounds running a 4.3 4.4 40. I mean, that's a lot of weight moving. And
that's just physics, to get, man.
And a lot of times, you know, what you would have to do with Nick is if you can kind of get him in that 5 to 10 yard range. You know, you probably had a chance to tackle him. If it got past 10 yards, it's a wrap. You're just not going to get him because his speed and momentum. And
full head of steam.
Downhill, it's over. So that's why I always would tell him in the huddle. And that was the fun. That was the kind of fun we had in the huddle. You know, a lot of times we'd be out there and we'd be cracking up laughing. You know, Matt, you know, the play would come in from the sideline, and it maybe it'd be a play that Matt may not have wanted to run. So he'd be like, "What? No, we're not going to run that. Lou, have you had the ball yet?" I said, "I haven't ran the ball in a long time, Matt. I'm ready." So he's like, "Okay, pro right, check with me." So he'd come up to the offensive lineup, and he'd call an audible, and he'd audible to my play. And if it worked, great. If it didn't, Coach Fry would be livid. And we'd be in the huddle just cracking up laughing, man. Because we knew that Matt was going to get it. He's like, "Call Coach. You know, the defense did this," and Coach Fry would get on the headphones, and he'd be like, "What's that?" And he'd call up to the booth. "Were they in that defense?" No. It was just fun times like that we had, guys. It was a blast.
Well, man, it sounds like a blast, and hopefully this current iteration of the Hawks can start having a little more fun.
Yeah, they need to. I think they're so wound up right now with the national footprint and the national kind of recognition that they haven't received. You know, it's a bit of a different story. They really had an opportunity to be the Cinderella team of the Big Ten this year, in my opinion, just because, you know, the schedule was. Yeah, you know, they had some. This was kind of the tougher part of their schedule. You got Wisconsin on the road. You got Ohio State at home. You know, you got a Purdue team. You know, you go on the road against Michigan State, as well as Northwestern. You know, so this was a schedule that really could have set Iowa up for great success if they could have pulled them out. And if you really think about it, you know, with the exception of the Michigan State game. And now the Purdue game, you know, we were really in pretty much all the other football games that we lost. I mean, you think about the Penn State game, came down to the last play, last seconds of the game. You know, that was one that we should have won. You come back against a Northwestern team that when it had to go into overtime, if Noah Fant catches that ball, maybe could have set us up. And he had room to run, you know, catches that football. And was able to advance. It would have gave us an opportunity. So that could have been a potential win. You know, Michigan State, you know, we just did not play well after that, you know, coming off of that bye week, you know. And then the Purdue game just shouldn't have happened. I mean, there is a Purdue team that just, you know, hadn't had a lot of success. It showed some signs of success. But senior day in Iowa City, giving up 6-7 sacks, you just can't have that happen. So, you know, there's some things, and then you come back and you totally obliterate Ohio State. I mean, and that to me was one of those scenarios where I almost wish that, you know, the game would have been a little bit closer, because, you know, it just made us look like we were just a one-hit wonder.
You know, I see what you're saying. It's easier to coach a team coming off like a close victory as opposed to, like a blowout, because, they got big heads.
Yeah, you come back the next week and you go against – we had – what did we have? 60-something yards against Wisconsin?
I think 66. Yards.
Yep. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, on a Division I level, that just shouldn't happen. I mean, especially with this ball club that just beat Ohio State by 31 points. And we gave them 7 points because I think the punter there was supposed to punt the ball, and he decided to run, which gave them field position, and they came back and scored like the next play. So we kind of gave them 7 points right there at the end. So it really was 17, you know, 55-17, with the exception of the touchdown we gave them there. But at any rate, you know, this team is, you know, you just don't know what team's going to show up. You know, Nebraska, definitely a beatable team. You know, they're going through a lot of transition right now. But which team is going to show up? You know, and it's just frustrating for us as fans, because we know this team should be performing better, and it's just not at this point. So, I probably feel worse for those seniors, who Josie Jewell, you know, your Watleys of the world, because those guys lay their hearts out on the field, man. And to come up short, you know, is difficult, you know, and, you know, for me, you know, I just want to see one of those guys get pissed off. I mean, I'm tired of hearing the interviews where the guys are like, yeah, well, you just didn't play very well today. Now, I want somebody to get angry. I want somebody to be pissed off that we lost today. I am angry. I am pissed that we got beat today. These guys are too cool, man. And
that is a really good observation, because I think sometimes they take on the mentality of their coach, and maybe that's a valuable trait to have when you're the head coach, you know, where nothing phases you. But as a player, that can put out your fire, I think. And you need to, you know.
Do you think there's something to that, Lou?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the games that we lost, man, I mean, if you talk to some of our guys back in the late 80s, early 90s, and you said, hey, we got beat. That interview would not be, well, you know, they just outplayed us today. We just wasn't really prepared for a lot of the things that they threw at us. And, you know, we'll just move on to next week. No, you would have gotten probably some swear words, some angry looks, some, you know, we're angry. We're pissed off. This is not supposed to happen. And, you know, I get it. These guys are going out. They're working hard. They're trying to. It's not like they're not. They would never be on this level if they wasn't going out and trying to do their best. But it really does beg the question. I mean, it is about execution. It is about, you know, if you're a receiver, you got to catch the football. You know, and if you're a running back, you know, you got to. You know, you got to be able to hold on to the football, and you got to, you know, that is the most valuable thing on that football field. It's the football.
And
to not take care of it. And I don't know if it's just, hey guys, look, you know, I'm going to throw you the football. You have to catch the football, and this game is dependent on it. So, it's just come sometimes, you know, this team's a mystery.
Hey,
it really is.
I got a question for you, Lou. And then we'll let you go, because you've given us way more of your time than you should have. We're not worth this.
No.
I was talking to these guys, and Nebraska has given up 50 points 2 weeks in a row now. How many points is it fair to expect Iowa to score this week?
So you're asking me for game predictions?
Oh, he snuck like, one in on you, Lou.
Yeah,
he totally
I guess,
did.
I guess, what, 35, 28? Like, how many should Iowa be able to score on a defense that's given up 100 points in 2 weeks? And do you think we'll hit that?
No, I just don't think that we're. I think now we're at a point where we're a very deflated football team, which makes us extremely vulnerable. I mean. We come off of very disappointing losses against Wisconsin. We've obviously lost against Purdue. And we're a very deflated football team. And I just don't see the offensive being able to produce that. I don't think we'll score 35. I think it'll be something like 24-10, 24-14. You know, but I don't think we'll get to like 35 points. I hope I'm wrong, but I think we'll at least score 21 points, between 21 and 24 points. I think it'll come. I think Watley will have a good game. I think our defense will step up and make some big plays. Josh Jackson has just been incredible this year. That young man has a huge upside.
Yeah.
I think Stanley's had an opportunity to really showcase what he can do, but he's got to have that clock in his head that you can get rid of the football, you know? And I think a lot of times when guys get their hands on him, he drops the football. This is something he's got to have a quicker clock in his head. And a lot of times defenses are picking that up. So I think Nebraska is going to do their homework. They're going to scout what Wisconsin did, what Northwestern's done, what Michigan State's done, and now what Purdue has done. They're going to put pressure on Stanley with those two tackles that are freshmen. They're going to force those guys to make decisions. They're going to make Stanley. What they're going to do is they're going to say, okay, we're going to stop the run, and we're going to force Stanley to beat us with the pass. And that's been, I think, every team's MO this entire year. They're saying, we got a first-year quarterback, starting at quarterback. We got some young receivers, but we got an experienced backfield. So what we're going to do is we're going to shut down the running game and force this first-year quarterback to beat us with these young receivers, okay? And then we're going to put pressure on him. So we're going to put 8-9 guys in the box. We're going to bring pressure on him, force that young offensive line to make some decisions, kind of get him out of his comfort zone, and then we're going to force him to beat us. And it's worked so far with the last few teams that I have been beat by, and that's just my observation as a fan. So, I think Nebraska's going to do the same thing. They're going to bring pressure. They're going to do some twist stunts. They're going to bring some guys that aren't where they're supposed to be. So they're going to swing guys around a lot. We saw a lot of that last week. Particularly, we saw a lot of that in the Wisconsin game. They were bringing heat, and Stanley was having to make some quick decisions, and their defensive backs were really forced to make some cover sacks because Stanley didn't have anywhere to throw the football to. So, and then they took the whole running game element out of the picture because we can't run between the tackles. We can't run the most experienced guy in Watley between the tackles. So that's where, from a creativity perspective, I really think Iowa has to do what Penn State has done with Saquon Barkley. Everybody knows Saquon's going to get the football in between the tackles. Okay, you take that element out of the scheme of their offense, saying, okay, we're going to stop Saquon from running the football. So what does Penn State do? They say, okay, we're just going to toss the rock out to him and get him one-on-one.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now you got him in a position where he's most effective. So then that opens up that defense to say, hey, we can't put 8-9 guys in the box because we have to count for him on the perimeter. So now what do? They come back and they run him up through the middle. So now we got to come back and put 8-9 guys in the box. Oh, yeah, by the way, he returns kickoff returns, and all the guy needs is a crease. I think that's what Iowa needs to do with a Watley and a Butler. Give those guys, you shut down the run. Okay, great. We're going to get you out on the perimeter, let you do what you do, loosen that defense up. We'll come back to our middle running game once we get the sense that you're starting to loosen up that defense. Right now, Iowa continues to stay with what they do, and that's run through the tackles, and it's just people are stacking the box.
Hey, Lou, one other question that just came to me. Put yourselves in a player's shoes. I mean, you've been there. Nebraska's playing the last game for its coach. It's an open secret that Mike Riley's fired after this game. And on the other side, Iowa's kind of got dissed. They got booed in their own stadium. I mean, what are those mentalities like on those sidelines? And do you think one side has like a mental edge in this game over the other?
Yeah. I think so. I think anytime you play for a coach that either he recruited you or you have some kind of physical connection to, in terms of hey, this guy's looked out for me, you know, I'm a senior, you know, this is the last game, let's do this. And I can guarantee you right now, there's pep rallies going on all across Nebraska right now because these kids are loyal to their coach. I mean, that's the reason probably why they came to Nebraska. Nebraska really has hung their hat for many, many years, and that's why they've gone through so many coaches. They've really hung their hats on the years of the past when they were winning national championships, So they've always had that banner of, there's our expectation level. Get us back to that level. And one of the things I think Nebraska struggles with is that to get back to that level, it's not going to happen in 2 to 3 years. It's going to take a long time for them to get back to that level of where they were the dominant, you know, they were competing year in and year out for those national championships. So they got to give whoever coach that they bring in an opportunity more than a couple, 2 to 3 years to build a program. So these guys are going to go out and play with a heck of a lot of heart. Iowa, on the other hand, to get booed in your own stadium, right now they're facing a lot of this is a lot of pressure for an 18 to 23-year-old, because we're the hottest ticket right now in the entire state. So these young people are really going out and having to face the world, to say the least. And our fans are like, to get booed, that's awful. So these guys are going to play with an extra heartbeat. That's why I think it's going to be a little bit of a closer game. I really hope I'm wrong. I hope it is 55-0. But I really think it's going to be a fairly close game, because both sides of the ball are going to have some sort of emotional attachment to the game. You got Nebraska's got a coach that's leaving. Iowa's got they got to win this football game. And that's a lot of pressure, when you have to win to kind of save your season. So I think it'll be a close game, but yes, to answer your question, I think both of these squads have something to play for, and I think it's going to be a hard-fought game that I think Iowa should win, and I think it'll happen primarily with our defensive play and hopefully getting this offense off and running.
Awesome.
Well, from your lips to God's ears.
Yeah. Thank you so much once again, Lou. That was awesome. If you don't mind, we're obviously going to edit quite a bit to kind of condense into the podcast. Yeah. But if we could just put a side episode, if you like Lou's portion of the podcast, just the whole thing is here. Would that be okay with you?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I said anything.
I don't think you burned any bridges.
no.
Yeah.
That was perfect.
The folks in Iowa City have been great to me, so I just want to make sure that, I'm not being too critical of our guys. It's just that,
You should hear what we say.
Yeah. I think you're going to sound like a teddy bear by comparison.
Yeah, you're to a lot of fans. Very diplomatic compared to probably what's coming on the rest of the podcast that we haven't recorded yet. Thank you so much. But very generous with your time. We'll make sure that we get this highlighted and we showcase all of your great memories, but also all of the work that you're doing going forward. So.
Thinking out loud here, Lou might be a good preseason guest for next year too, when we're taking a look at the team.
Yeah, I think I think you may regret what you started here, Lou, because you're probably better at this than we are.
Just give me a call in the spring if you want to talk about the spring game and what to look for in the spring and some highlights of what to expect, things like that. And that's what I do. I also, I'm on the radio post-game show on WMT 600.
That's right. I've heard you in traffic coming home from games.
Yeah. So yeah. I do that show as well. And I do high school football on Friday nights with KCRG 9.2 here in Cedar Rapids. So, I'm always talking football this time of year. So if you need me to give you my thoughts. As you can tell, I always got a story to tell.
It's so perfect.
Awesome.
All right.
It's been great, man. Thanks again.
Thanks for sure. And, keep on with Lucas, and we're all pulling for you guys.
Yeah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
Give everybody our regards.
I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Bye.